You're listening to the podcast with a K. My name is Christian Corley, and with me this week is James McLean again. Hi, how are you doing, James?
Yep.
He's here. Yeah. And now it's late 2020. It's December. We're recording this on, I don't even know what day it is. What day is it? It's the 7th of December. And so there's a new episode of Doctor Who, Imminent Revolution of the Daleks. And we know it introduces a new Dalek, and we'll be talking about that in depth elsewhere. But in the meantime, it's probably we kind of do this. We look at stories that are coming along, and this is kind of an event story because we've got Daleks, we've got Captain Jack Harkness back again. So prepare your fondue sets, and we've also got Bradley Walsh and Tosin Cole leaving in the episode. I'm pretty sure that's not a spoiler now because we've known about that since the beginning of the month. So yeah, the last episode of Doctor Who ended with the Doctor's companions left on Earth and the Doctor accidentally incarcerated. And from the trailer for Revolution of the Daleks, we discover Daleks working in conjunction with people at the top of the tree in Britain, at least. And it probably goes a lot further than that. There's some sort of conspiracy at work, no doubt.
How many people in the universe get to meet the Doctor, let alone travel with her? Being with the Doctor, you don't get to choose when it stops, whether you leave her or she leaves you.
The Doc would really want us to keep an eye on the planet, right?
But how's that possible?
If you don't help, the human race is going down.
You with us?
As of now, you will see new defense drones at work.
These machines are going to change the world.
Yo, remember us?
I'm Captain Jack Harkness.
And I'm immortal.
Are you feeling insecure? Because you seem to need a lot of praise.
Do I?
Prepare for maximum extermination.
Not you guys.
Don't move!
Now, Jack!
Stay strong. People waiting for you.
James, event Christmas Doctor Who type things. Before we go in to talk about Revolution of the Daleks, how are you feeling about, we had the resolution of the Daleks a couple of years ago, was it last year? Whenever that was. God, time these days, it's just all over the place, isn't it? So we had that other Dalek New Year episode, now we've got this new Dalek New Year episode. And I have to say, I have been, let's say, whelmed by Doctor Who's seasonal episodes for quite some time now. I think the last one I enjoyed was probably last Christmas, which was probably about 5 years ago.
You've not been really engaged since last Christmas, the episode.
The episode, yes. Not last Christmas last year, no, the episode last Christmas. Not even the George Michael song, the last Christmas, oh God almighty. So that Peter Capaldi episode with Jenna Louise Coleman.
I know what you mean. I wasn't trying to trip you up. I was just confirming whether you were talking about this sort of seasonal episodes.
Yes.
Or just generally.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, as we've been documented, I've quite enjoyed a lot of the last two seasons. So I felt it a bit more fresh. I've liked the slower pace. There's things I've not been over keen on as well. Like any human being, there's nothing, it wasn't by any means perfect, but I think I was enjoying the shift in tone and some of the changes. So, yeah, I can't pretend I've been engaged in Doctor Who this year. Real life has become fairly sci-fi in itself that, I don't know, not saying it's just been outmoded by life and the disasters that we've been dealing with this year, but I've not really been thinking about it at all, Doctor Who. And again, I think the problem with Doctor Who is it's up against so much now, and I know I've said this before, but I think when we sort of look at Doctor Who now and see it as being perhaps less exciting or as inspiring as it was maybe in 2005, 2006, it's got to remember that it was up against so much less in terms of quality and of style to be compared against. I mean, this year I've been watching so much Walking Dead. I've been enjoying Star Trek Discovery. This last season of Star Trek Discovery has been really interesting, been really good. There's been an Altered Carbon this year, was really good. Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff out there that Doctor Who has to be compared against now, unfortunately.
Yeah. I think if I was starting a new podcast, it would be about The Mandalorian.
Yeah, and The Mandalorian, which has been excellent.
Yeah.
There's lots of quality stuff across television now, which there was a lot of quality stuff in 2005, 2006, but in terms of sci-fi, there wasn't quite that same competition out there as I think there is now. And obviously we're in a different world, as we've said before, with TV on demand, which means that we can be more selective. We have to be selective because it's just so much at our fingertips. It's not like it's scheduled like before, where even TV would try and schedule things carefully not to compete where it could help to boost its own ratings. So therefore that help does manage how we consumed. But now it's just like full on. So Doctor Who suddenly becomes a small part of a bigger garden.
Yes.
And I think that can make it seem a lot more redundant than is fair, perhaps the way of putting it. And I, like I said, last year, I thought there was some really interesting things going on. I thought that, you know, the last episode, which was very contentious for a lot of people, and myself and Brian certainly disagreed in what we got out of that. And I think that's really interesting. And to me, that's where Doctor Who should be. Doctor Who should be making his argue a bit. And I think that was great. And I'm hoping for this next one, they don't really go over that ground too much again. I think it's that last episode. Some questions over its mythos. I don't think it needs those answers. I kind of think it would be good if we just moved on and sort of gone, okay, so the doctor's not quite what we thought they were. Maybe we don't need to really go back to that for a while now. Let's leave that. Let's let that simmer for a bit. And I'm hoping that this new story will perhaps focus. We've got Captain Jack in there. We've got, as you say, companions leaving. We've got Daleks. It doesn't feel like we've got room for any of that stuff anyway, and I kind of feel that's good. I think trying to redefine the mythos a bit is kind of good to try and keep things interesting and ongoing, and so we don't get to a point where we're just constantly retweaking the mythos, which is what Stephen Moffat era was doing a lot of. There's some bold changes there, but I don't think they should be there to try and redefine the direction of the show. Just trying to sort of say, yeah, what you know might not be what you think you know. And that's what Doctor Who should be about, shouldn't it?
I'm not sure. I don't think it should be about anything about the Doctor. It should be about the bad guys. It should be about the villains getting stopped. I don't think it needs to be about the Doctor. In that whole, you know, the bit that they cut from Remembrance of the Daleks, I think they cut that for a good reason. I don't think it's needed. And I don't really think any of the additional stuff that was added to the mythos was required, because I think it could have gone without it, and could have had told excellent stories without it. Maybe stories that have felt a bit more enjoyable. I don't know. I really struggled to rewatch The Timeless Children. We watched it a few months ago.
Any Doctor Who recent? Well, I just don't tend to watch any of the new series again. Not since Moffat took over. And again, that's not actually an attack on Moffat, I don't think. I have rewatched Moffat episodes, and I've actually quite enjoyed them on a rewatch, which I didn't on my first time round. So maybe that says something about me. But, I mean, you know, we don't obviously want to get caught on The Timeless Child, but I think looking back at The Timeless Child, what I found it's done for me is, yeah, you don't need it. But, I mean, it's the same argument I think we've had with Gareth over Solo, you know, where he was like, well, we don't need that movie. Mm. It's like, well, we don't need it, but I actually enjoyed it, thanks. So, you know, in a sense, while I didn't need it, I didn't need that cream cake, but I kind of enjoyed that cream cake, which in Celia I don't. I hate cream cake, but it's a bit of a bad example. But that's the sort of thing I'm trying to say. And to me, what Timeless Child did in a weird way was it kind of sewed up quite nicely the new series and the old series in a way that just hadn't been done. And to me, there was a kind of a massive disconnect, which everyone had really been frustrated over. I mean, people go like, you know, suddenly now he's now a god. We hate him being a god. You know, he should be a traveler, and I get that, and I don't disagree with that. But in a sense, by sort of taking him out and going, well, actually, yeah, that's a phrase a bit crap, isn't it? It's now the Camelot of Monty Python. It's a silly place. We don't go there if we can help it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, maybe that's because it's not as a big deal in the mythos as it perhaps should have. Than we wanted it to be, and it isn't. So therefore, maybe the Doctor actually transcends Gallifrey. That kind of makes sense, because they have transcended Gallifrey. So now we have a sort of thing which ties that up and sort of says, okay, maybe that's because there's more to the Doctor than there is to Gallifrey. And yeah, we've argued on the podcast that we'd, and I think we're all in agreement, me, you and Brian, that the War Games is where the Time Lords should have always stayed. But that sadly is not the show that we've got. And from the show we've got, yeah, I kind of like the idea of the Timeless Child sort of saying, yeah, okay, Doctor is actually bigger than that. But I agree with you. I don't think that's what I'm trying to say. I don't think this needs to now become something which defines the future. To me, it kind of dovetailed the past a bit and made some sort of sense out of what this multiplicity of Doctor Who stories we've had, these different matrices of producers and their visions. It kind of, to me, tied it up a bit and went and said, okay, to me, that kind of makes sense out of what we've got, the jumble we've got. That's made more sense than what we had previously. But I don't want to fixate on that. I don't think we need to. Let's do something new. And I'm kind of hoping that's what we're doing now. New Daleks, maybe, you know, a movement to new companions with a little bit of the past in there. I think Captain Jack coming back excites me.
Yes. Yeah, so we've got them, Captain Jack, coming back in the new episode of Doctor Who. He was obviously teased going back some months to... Which episode was it? Fugitive of the Jadoon, which
yes,
surprisingly, John Barrowman appeared in as one of the many twists in that episode. Gives me a headache. And yes, he's back in with his newly dyed hair. He does suit the silver look, John Barrowman, but obviously he's dyed his hair as Jack Harkness, back to black, back to Jack to black to Jack, whatever, Jack Black. Blackjack, stop. And yeah, so he's back to help Yaz, Ryan and Graham as they discover a disturbing plan forming, which involves the Daleks. And I think there's also another familiar face in that episode as well, from the Spiders episode.
Incidentally, my least favourite episode of the new series, I think. So
yeah, it starts off so promisingly, and I think just yeah, it gets caught and drifts off a little bit and loses focus. Which is a bit of a shame, because it's otherwise a good premise. Back to Revolution of the Daleks. Jack Harkness is back. John Barrowman, MBE, says putting on Jack's coat and setting foot back on the set of Doctor Who was just like going back home. It's always thrilling to play Captain Jack. He's a character very close to my heart. He changed my life. And to know the fans love him as much as I do makes his return even sweeter. I hope everyone enjoys Jack's heroic adventure with 13. Now, the thing about John Barrowman coming back to Doctor Who is, I mean, that's a good reason to watch Doctor Who, because he did slot in perfectly in Doctor Who. And it's a shame he wasn't in it a bit more back in 2005, that 2005 when he's in 4 episodes. You know, he was a key part of it. And, you know, he pops up now and then later on. And obviously, there's Utopia, which wouldn't be half as, you know, he's a key part of Utopia. And that is one of the best Doctor Who episodes in its entire 57 years, in my opinion. Yeah, I'm quite excited to see him back. I mean, that is one reason I want to actually watch. I want to see how the Daleks turn out. I want to see how they look on screen, how they move around and that. I want to see how the trio do with Jack and how the Doctor escapes from incarceration and what the Daleks do. Actually, there's a lot of reasons to watch this episode, which is this is quite interesting, because certainly with the 2018 run, I think there was a lot going on there that you probably weren't that interested. Unless you were invested in watching Doctor Who, then perhaps there wasn't this, like, you know, it's an alien invasion story, and everyone likes an alien invasion story in Doctor Who. That's basically Doctor Who's bread and butter. I think not so much the last run, but the run before that, wasn't enough of those. And I think with the last run with the Tesla episode, it's a good example, alien invasion stories are good. So I think they don't get better than Dalek invasion. And obviously, I'm not being completely straight here, because there's an episode in the last bit of Capaldi series which is an alien invasion story, and I don't like that one at all.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to this Doctor Who.
Yeah. I am as well. I think it's this stuff. I'm interested in maybe sort of Captain Jack and Daleks, because he obviously has a... Well, yes. I mean, he should in theory have quite a personal relationship with them. But to be honest, in... the finale of season 4. It never really sort of hit me that he really was that bothered. I mean, obviously he was very worried about them, but I'm just thinking the fact that he was killed by them. I always wondered whether that would be interesting in this, whether that would become something we'd talk about. But then, as I say, he's dealt with them since then, and he wasn't in that sort of frame of mind, so maybe not.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I like Captain Jack. I like the fact... I also tend to like characters where I know that the actors are really genuinely invested in those characters. People like, you know, Paul Darrow and Avon, as I say, John Barrowman with Captain Jack. When you get actors who are really, you know, they really do get something from the characters, I kind of welcome their return because it's a nice feeling because you feel there's a sort of an authenticity there that is just not just a day job, but it has meaning for someone. So watching their performance becomes a bigger thing too. So yeah, I'm kind of glad to see him come back. I think there's a lot of fun that can be had there as well. I'm disappointed in Bradley Walsh going.
Yes.
Out of the companions, he was the one that held it together.
Yeah.
I actually personally quite liked Tosin as well. I thought he was coming into his element. I don't think as a character he was utilized well, but I know a lot of people weren't sympathetic to his acting, but as I've said, I've met people like him before, so he felt authentic to me.
Do you think the dyspraxia thing, do you think maybe that was an unnecessary piece of baggage that impacted his performance?
Well, I think the dyspraxia either needed to be full on, okay, not full on addressed, because that makes it sound like it becomes a... But I think it needed to either be used appropriately or just not be there at all.
Mm.
And I think it was a shame that it wasn't used appropriately. Because I think one of the biggest issues with Doctor Who and its companions, especially since 2005, has been their sort of, how do I put it in a way? They've been very, it's a very ableist approach, isn't it? They're always, they never have any problems, do they? Apart from the fact that they've been shunted out of their normal world and having to deal with all these alien incursions. But there's never anyone who is has got any sort of learning difficulties or any sort of there's any disabilities to contend with. Everyone is always very much fine in that sense, and that's okay.
Well, that's a good reason why I think a good argument why Clara should have remained as Victorian Clara.
Yeah, absolutely. Because what we're talking about here is that sometimes limitations to any character are interesting.
Mm.
When you have the Doctor being blind, that is interesting.
Yeah.
And it creates issues within the show that need to be overcome. And I think that, again, is interesting. Now, obviously, you don't want that with your main character in the sense that you want your main character to be able to do a lot of things to drive the story forward. But I think The Companion is an excellent excuse to have characters which have difficulties they have to overcome. I think that's the best way of putting it. Who have differences, again, is another way of putting it. I don't want to put these in negative light. I know people go, oh, that's him being woke or whatever, but I think it's good to acknowledge that, that people who have different difficulties in their lifestyle don't necessarily see them in the same way that people, you know, I don't want to be too overly ableist about this. And again, people are going to go, oh God, he's woke again. And I'll say, well, just, I call it empathy. Ultimately, I think limitations are interesting in characters, whatever those limitations are. And I think we should be sort of looking at them being used appropriately. And I think the dyspraxia was a really good limitation there that would be something that would challenge the character and challenge the audiences in ways that would put them in positions which would be interesting for them too. And I think that's the other thing. It's about being interesting. I've not seen characters on television with dyspraxia. So why not? Why not educate me in that sort of way? You know, there was a bit in Discovery this week, which again doesn't spoil anything, where a character was like, turn around and says, I don't want to be called she. I would like to be, I like to be addressed as they. And then they explain why. And I think that's a really good thing because it takes the thorniness out of people going, why do people not want to be a he or she? And, you know, I find that, and that irritates me. It genuinely irritates people because they don't understand the reasons for it. And that's fine. Why? That's because we're human beings. And I think then to have a character actually explain why they feel this way is good because then the audience can go, okay, I can now understand that. Thank you. That makes sense to me. I'm fine with that. And so I think sometimes having these limitations are good because it can diffuse some of the myths around limitations that are in society of all different kinds. And educate people. And I wanted to be educated on issues of dyspraxia. I wanted to be educated on that because I don't know much about it. and it kind of gets lost. And you think, but that would have been good for the story, and it'd be good as a, you know, television should open our eyes, shouldn't it? Surely. Surely some of the fun of Doctor Who is that I've actually learned stuff from Doctor Who, which I'd have never learned from anywhere else. And the same with Blake Seven. You know, it can educate you in ways which I would have never been educated. I learned about things in history which I'd have never learned about because I was interested in Doctor Who became the starting point of me being interested. It taught me words which weren't in other TV shows. And so did Blake Seven. I remember as a kid, Avon turning to Aurak and saying, or something like, I think the line was something like, when have you ever offered gratuitous advice? And as a kid, I was like, what does gratuitous mean? That sounds really cool. And I learned that word through Blake Seven. And Doctor Who's done the same. I think we can learn a lot from sci-fi, and we shouldn't be afraid of that. But obviously it's about how you do it to make sure that your audiences don't feel like they're being patronized.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be sci-fi either, but it just has to be good programming.
Absolutely.
And Doctor Who already has a kind of a tenuous link with the issue of dyspraxia, which you probably do know this already, and it's probably just exited due to something more important being inserted into your brain. There's a show called Tree Fu Tom, which David Tennant was originally one of the key voice actors on, and Sophie Aldred was the lead voice actor on. This was a CBB show. And the character Tree Fu Tom does exercises with the audience to get them ready to help him use his powers. And the exercises are dyspraxia exercises.
Okay.
So that was a CBB show that is aimed for between 2 to 7-year-olds. My children don't really watch CBBs at the moment, so I'm not sure if it's still on, but it's still available to watch in other places. And it's a good little show. And I do wonder if that had a kind of a feed into this character, maybe Ryan's character. I don't know. Bradley Walsh leaving is, as you say, I think that's quite a big deal. I think this has consequences to the show, and whether or not that means someone has come back long term or not, I doubt it. I mean, I think that would be good, but I've always felt, as you mentioned, that Graham holds things together. I think Bradley Walsh is probably the key to this era of Doctor Who, in a way that in some ways, I suppose, being the focus, less so Yaz or Ryan. And I think him leaving, I don't want to be unkind to Jodie because she's a good actress, but I find her more convincing as the Doctor when she isn't in Doctor Who. You know, so when she's doing like pieces to camera in character and stuff that aren't in Doctor Who, or when she's talking to fans, I think she's absolutely fantastic.
Well, that's surely down to writing as well.
Well,
it's how she's written.
Perhaps so. But I do think replacing Bradley Walsh, I mean, you can't replace him. I think this is an irreplaceable change. He says it is quite sad and poignant is the word. You can expect a lot of poignancy from the episode. Wales has become like a second home to me, and being included in something so iconic and groundbreaking with the advent of having a female Doctor, that whole thing where Chibnall sold that to me, it didn't disappoint, and I loved working with those guys. I should have done this in a Cockney accent, shouldn't I? I love working with Chris Chibnall, that man is a genius, but to also be working with Mandip and Tosin, and of course, Jodie, is just extraordinary.
So I think the beautiful thing that he brought, and again, it goes back to this thing about a little bit about limitations, but it's about again, I'd say education, and having an older character in there, and I thought there were some really nice moments between him, mainly Bradley and Tosin's character, in terms of how not just as family, but how generations are different and how they talked, and I thought that's also kind of good. I like. Because Doctor Who can end up, as it has been for so many years, being about the Doctor Who is a sort of, again, an ageless character with a young person. And to have a sort of older person and a younger person and see those different dynamics, those personalities, how they operate, it felt fresh, it felt more, and, you know, how they operate with the Doctor's different as well. I don't know, it felt more enriching. It felt like old people can exist in Doctor Who in a way that, I mean, aside from Bernard Cribbiton's, you know, we just don't see in the main show.
No.
And it's just like, and yet I think that's a really lost opportunity. And I would really welcome for another older character to be in it, a more mature character. Because I think, again, it creates different feelings. It creates different perspectives and agendas. And maybe they could have been used more. Maybe they could have been more, I don't know. But I just kind of feel we missed that in Doctor Who. And I'd love it if Jack stayed.
Well, he's only 6 years younger, 7 years younger than Bradley Wall.
Scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was thinking just simply from the, you know, he's a good character. He's an interesting character. Why does this show not have him as a main character? Why British TV shows? We don't seem to have the savvy that the States have. I mean, take Buffy. You know, Buffy goes four seasons and they go, right, Spike's really popular. We need to do something. Well, why don't we just make him one of the main cast?
Yeah.
And they'll do that. You know, shows do that in the States. Quite often you'll see a character who's quite good, who's in a few episodes, gets into it main time and then becomes a main cast member because they're good. We don't seem to do that. And it's like, he's good. I know not everyone likes Captain Jack. I get that. But generally speaking, he speaks to the show. He's popular with a lot of fans. And I think he's interesting. And we keep saying we need a character in there which is a little more like an Adric or a Turlough or a Nyssa, who isn't necessarily from Earth, who has a few extra abilities which the show can utilize. You know, you can have the Doctor doing something, and if you want the TARDIS somewhere else, you've got Captain Jack who can move it. You know, it gives you certain freedoms to have someone who's that mid-level, who's not the sort of basic human, who's not the high-powered Time Lord, but works in that middle level, who can sort of bridge those gaps. And it's like, why do we avoid having that character in Doctor Who? Because that's useful, surely.
Yeah, you would think so, yeah. What we should probably do is just quickly go through the synopsis, which we should have done earlier on. The BBC state that viewers last saw the 13th Doctor at the end of series 12, where her fate was left hanging in a balance as she was locked away in a high-security alien prison with no hope of escape. In the upcoming festive special, Yaz, Ryan and Graham are far away on Earth and having to carry on with their lives without her. However, they soon discover a disturbing plan forming, a plan which involves a Dalek. How can you fight a Dalek without the Doctor? Even with Captain Jack's help, the gang are set to face one of their biggest and most frightening challenges yet. It also notes that Dame Harriet Walter is in the episode. You'll have seen her in the trailer. And Jack Robertson is the businessman character from the Arachnids in the UK episode. Yeah, this is returning characters. Harriet Walter is a superb actress. Daleks. There's a lot. This feels like a finale episode in some ways, or a first episode of a new series episode rather than a Christmas episode. And yet, it's not even a Christmas episode, it's a New Year episode. But it feels like a bit more of an event for Doctor Who than maybe some more recent episodes. So, I mean, obviously, quite some quite big things happened in the last run of episodes. But this does feel like more like a traditional event episode rather than, say, the resolution of the Daleks episode. I think the trailer is impressive as well. It doesn't look like it's giving too much away, and while it looks good, and I think there's something to be said for trailers that don't appear to give too much away and look good, as opposed to those that, and you know, you never know until you see it. Never for sure. You don't know until you watch the episode or the movie whether or not the trailer's giving too much away. But I'm confident about it, which is nice, especially after the last episode, which I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, life is an endless day at the moment, so it's kind of weird to sort of project to where and what I'll feel at the time. But I think it's interesting, as you say, that it feels like an event episode rather than like a seasonal episode. That it feels like if Doctor Who, after this next season, they decided to do it as event episodes, maybe this would be the template, this sort of thing where you throw in a load of big things into a story and you do say four of them a year.
Mm.
That would be the way. So maybe it has the feeling of a potential future template.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was going to say, you know, 12 years ago when that idea was first posited, I would have cursed the BBC from the heavens. Or you know, something. I'd have been absolutely hysterical about it, perhaps. But I think it's an absolutely smart idea.
Well, if I was the BBC again, if I was a living, breathing
organization,
stressed out entity, as I am. But if I was the BBC, I would be thinking, well, would Doctor Who work better as event episodes, which would be done in agreement with? I know they've got all their various bit boxes and the like, but with across streaming platforms to sort of do it as like global events. So well promoted, goes out everywhere. You know, we do ones every now and then. Because there is that sort of feeling of, I have so many, and we've said this before, again, I keep saying that, but it just feels like we're going over old ground. But there's just so many things out there to watch.
Yeah.
When I look and I go, oh, great, I've got another 12 episodes of Doctor, or 10 episodes of Doctor Who to watch this year on top of everything else. In a sense, I'd be quite happy to watch, you know, 4, you know, 70-minute episodes a year that are well produced, well promoted, so they make most of the brand, so they go across. So it's not just sitting on the BBC, where I think it would just get lost. I think it would have to be done better than that. It would have to go out, as I say, as a multi-streaming thing too. And I don't think BritBox, if that still exists, it does,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes.
BritBox still exists.
Yeah.
I've no idea. I've no idea what the BBC is doing with its own material now, which is, again, why I think they need to be looking beyond BBC stuff, because I just don't think it carries far in terms of visibility. But it should go across platforms and therefore and become something which is like, as you say, like 70-minute event things. I think it would work better like that, frankly. It's just too much content, and I just don't think it has the money or the support behind it to really compete in the same way.
It does feel, though, that, as you say, this old ground is, it does feel as though this is something that we've said repeatedly over the past few years. So, you know, whatever. Is anyone listening? Unlikely. But...
Well, it's just also, I mean, again, we're moving still slowly, not as much as people generally tend to think. We are still slowly moving away from the linear model of television watching. Certainly when it comes to dramas, I think live TV, documentary is still obviously a news, still has its linear place. And but then where linear TV does work very well tends to be in event television. Now, event television can still be serialized, but I think, you know, the coffee, you know, what the water cooler moments these days tend to be on some more on the live television stuff rather than drama,
yeah,
which tends to hit its mark on streams, even if it becomes in itself water cooler moment, you know, like The Crown or, you know, dramas like that, which tend to be quite big talking points. They tend to, I think the visibility, those things tend to be things where, I don't know, I just kind of have this feeling that you either serialized drama on streamers where it's not week up. Well, I don't know. I'm suddenly got to a point where it's like, I don't know anymore. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? I just don't feel that Doctor Who really exists in the space it could in its,
yes,
current format.
Yes.
It feels,
yes,
like it's speaking to a generation gone.
Yes.
You know, and we've said this before, the BBC clearly want it to be back in 2008 to, you know, 2009, where 2008, where it was that sort of bigness. But then the terrain was not the same. You can't go back to that terrain. It will not stand out in this very complex mix of linear VOD world that we exist in, where young people are as much watching stuff through YouTube, through Chrome, through social medias. They're not really as entrenched in television in that model. So does Doctor Who sitting in that model really do it any favours? I don't think it does.
No, I don't think it does either. Although, I mean, it's not entirely bad news because we've got a new video game coming along which could maybe potentially change the way, could add to Doctor Who's audience. We'll be looking at that in more detail at some point next year, though. I think we've probably come to the end of our discussion about Resolution of the Daleks, which is obviously, it's on New Year's Day. I'm just going to make a noise. Excuse me. Thank you. And I just want to let the listener know that there have been some new podcast releases recently surrounding this. Well, this is a new podcast. Some old podcasts have been resurfaced by the website and tweeted, and some of them have got links that don't work on them. So I've been feverishly uploading over the weekend and fixing links and things, because there's a migration of the website's domain name and hosting. So some links got broken. Our Shada podcast that we recorded a few years ago has been re-uploaded, James.
Shada one, right?
The Shada one, yeah, which has proved quite popular over the past couple of days. 125 listens since I uploaded it 2 days ago. So and the Unit podcast as well. And there's been a few others over the past few weeks. I am working really hard to try and get those uploaded as they are resurfaced, but it's very much a random job, and it's a kind of a patchy afterwards because the job is that big. I can't just go in and do them all at once. I've got to do them as they pop up. Otherwise, So just keep an eye out for some old podcasts popping up, and obviously quick listen. And the end product of this is that all of our podcasts will end up on Audio Boom, which means they'll all be listed in iTunes as well, and all the other places where you can find the podcast with a K. We will be back. I sounded like Boris Johnson. I'm not Boris Johnson. James and I should be back in the new year to discuss Revolution of the Daleks. And perhaps a few other things besides. Thank you very much for listening. Good to speak to you again, dear listener. Until next time, it is goodbye from us.